So we're going to continue the series this morning called Grow. This is the last day of this series we're calling Grow. And we've talked about prayer. We've talked about the word. We've talked about hungering for God, about following God, about giving ourselves over to God and truly growing. Nobody else can be responsible for your personal growth. You're the only one. God is there waiting. He's ready to help you grow, but it's still only you can decide to grow. Only I can decide for my spiritual life to grow. And so today, since we've talked about those other things, we're going to conclude with this one that the Bible talks about a lot. And it talks about it in several different ways. And we're going to focus in on one word this morning. The Bible talks about servanthood, points us to servanthood in a number of ways. The word we're going to look at today is called hospitality. As a believer in Christ, he's asking us to live a life of hospitality. Now, hospitality is very simple. It means I quit thinking about me and I start thinking about somebody else. So I want to give you a definition of hospitality in just a minute, but I want to try to explain what hospitality is by telling you what it's not. All right. It's like, let me tell you what hospitality is not. When I walked in the building this morning, several of you non-Dallas Cowboy fans made fun of me. You said that somebody even said, I got a joke for you. What does Chick-fil-A and the Dallas Cowboys have in common? Neither one of them show up on Sunday. It's like, I just want to tell you, that is not hospitality. That is not what hospitality looks like, all right? Hospitality would be, I'm sorry, there's always next year. I got you. We're going to work on this together. We'll be praying in the off season. That would be hospitality. Listen, years ago, Martha Stewart kind of hijacked hospitality. She decided that you had to fold your towels a certain way. We got in a fight at my house about this one time. I was like, I don't care what Martha Stewart says. I don't like the way she folds the towels. And then she said, when you have people over, this is what hospitality looks like. And really, it looks more like showing off to me. We're going to fix up the house and make it look like it never looks any other time. And we're going to show off so you can feel comfortable for a minute. That's not what hospitality is. I want to brag on my wife just for a minute. The other day, we were, you can go ahead. Let's do it. Yes. Woo. The other day, we were at Walmart, and we had, several things in the buggy. We went in for one thing, ended up with 12. You know how that goes. All right. We're just going to spend $25, and, $85 later, we're checking out. So we get to the self-check line, and there's a pretty good line coming out of the self-check area. And so we got our few items, and it was going to take us a few minutes. But this lady pulls in behind us. I say pulls in like she's driving a truck. The buggy is so big. I mean, it's just a mountain of stuff. She must have $500 worth of groceries in this buggy. She can barely get it up to the self-check thing. She's coming, and I kind of peek over, and I go, in my head, I'm going, whoo, I'm glad I'm not with that buggy. And that's one of those buggies you need to take to the conveyor belt cashier, all right, where you just lay it out there and they'll back. No. She was going to one item at a time at the self-check. And my wife leans over to me and says, she's going to need some help. So after we check out, I'm going to stay and help her. And I was like, that's okay with me. She said, you're going to need to carry our groceries out with your hands so I can keep our buggy because we're going to need two buggies on her order of groceries. And then she, these two women that have never met, my wife knows everybody in Walmart by the time she gets out. She just has that gift. My kids always laugh that mom's meeting a new friend. It's just there. It's in her. So she meets this lady. And immediately the lady just trusts her to help with the groceries and she spins. And I go out to the car. I'm in the car for 25 minutes. And they're transferring one item at a time. you know, buggy to buggy, doing the whole thing. And then I'm pretty sure she even walked her out to the car and helped her load them in the car while I'm waiting. No, I'm just teasing. I was waiting, but it was okay. This is my life. This is what she does. And she's just a picture of hospitality. I looked back at that buggy of groceries and thought, whew, that's kind of dumb. I wouldn't be in this line. Jody looked back and saw an opportunity for hospitality. And that's not what she said out loud. She just saw somebody that needed help and said, I'm going to do it. Now, the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to live our lives with hospitality. And if we're going to grow, we have to start thinking about other people more. We can't just think about ourselves all the time. We have to think about other people and how we're going to show hospitality to other people. And the book of Titus has a beautiful picture of what hospitality is supposed to be. Now the book of Titus was written by Paul. It was called a pastoral epistle. It's Paul telling a young pastor how to handle this church, all right? This is some things you need to know if you're going to deal with this church. This church was on the island of Crete. It was about 100 miles south of the Greek mainland in the Mediterranean Sea. So it's on this big island, and the people who live there are called Cretans, all right? So when they have been put under Roman control, and Paul and Titus show up to do some missionary work. They are preaching the gospel. They're building churches. They're doing all this great stuff. It's time for Paul to leave. And he leaves Titus behind to appoint leaders of the Cretan church. He says, here's some things. They need some leaders, all right? And I'm going to leave you behind. And your job is to help them by appointing leaders that will be able to lead the church when you and I are gone, when we're not here. So Paul gives young Titus a list of qualifications for these church leaders. So Titus chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. He says, so this is older Paul saying to younger Titus, as he's leaving, he says, since an overseer manages God's household, he said, you're going to be appointing overseers. So since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless. And what does a blameless overseer, a blameless leader look like? He's not overbearing. He's not quick-tempered. He's not given to drunkenness. He's not violent and not pursuing dishonest gain. He said, here's some things that a good leader is not. He's not violent, not quick-tempered, not overbearing, all that stuff. And then he goes in verse 8, he says, here's what he is. Here's what a good leader is. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Now, he goes on to list some more things. Well, one of the first things on that list is he must be hospitable. So if it's the first thing in the list that these are the qualities a leader is going to have, and the first thing on the list is he's going to have to be hospitable, there's a reason he puts that first. You know, when you're listing off the things you want your kids to do while you're away from the house, you tell them the most important thing first. You may think of some things to add at the bottom of the list, but you say the first thing first. And so when we're looking at this, Paul says these leaders are going to have to be hospitable. Now, why is it so important for these people to be hospitable? Well, first of all, let's kind of dig into the word hospitable and what that means. Now, in the original language that this was written, the word hospitable was philoxenia. And that is two words put together. You and I would see it as two words. Philos meaning loving and xenos meaning stranger or strange. He said the overseer is going to have to be somebody who loves people who are strange to him. He's going to have a love for people that are different from him. People maybe that are living life different from him, and maybe they are just brand new to him, but he's going to have to be the kind of person that loves a stranger or loves the strange. He's going to have to be somebody who loves the person that other people look at and go, they're a little strange. Now, we've kind of twisted this. We've gone the opposite direction now. We have a different word in our culture called xenophobia. It means that we're afraid of people that are unlike us. We dislike people who are unlike us. Now, Paul said, look, I need you to love people who are not like you. I need you to treat these people well. When somebody shows up and they're strange to you, don't give them the stiff arm. If you're going to be a leader in this church, you're going to have to be open to a relationship that stretches you a little bit. You're going to have to be open to a relationship that you have to put a little work in. You got to understand this person a little better. Now, there were Greeks in this church. There were Jews in this church. There were Romans on the island controlling it. Now, all of that, but then he also, a little further into the book of Titus, Paul sort of implies to him, or doesn't sort of, he implies to him, look, this is not going to be an easy job. Because there's some things you need to know about these Cretans. Historically, the word Cretan was known as a liar. The people of Crete were known to be liars. And even that the word Cretan had even been turned into an adverb, Cretanly, to call somebody two-faced. If you wanted to call somebody two-faced, you just call them Cretanly. You're just like a Cretan. So the people that Paul said to Titus, you're gonna win these people to Jesus, and you're gonna build this church, and you're gonna appoint leaders, and they are gonna have to be okay with people who are messed up. Now I was thinking, Lord, is this for Irving? This sounds like South Irving so far, Lord. I don't know what's going on. He said to him, look, you're going to have to deal with other nationalities. They're coming to the island of Crete. You're going to have to deal with these people you don't even want here, the Romans. And then you're going to have to deal with the people who have been here forever that are a bunch of liars. Titus 1:12 even says this. This is Paul talking to Titus. Now remember, this is pastor to pastor talking about. He said, one of Crete's own prophets have said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. Now listen, I would hate to know that somebody from Irving is like, yeah, that's a bunch of liars and evil brutes and lazy gluttons. But that's how he described these people. He was just quoting another poet. So he's telling young Titus, look, you are going to have to, whoever's going to lead this church is going to have to man up. They can't be serving themselves. They're going to have to be thinking about other people. They're going to have to be hospitable. They're going to have to take the opportunities that come to serve and love other people and care for other people. They're going to have to make sure that they don't get caught up in their little bubble and think that that's enough. They're not going to be able just to invite people into their bubble. They're going to have to be leader enough to engage other people that don't think like them, that weren't raised like them, don't act like them, don't have the same values as them. And then we're going to let God work on them along the way. He said, I need leaders who are going to be hospitable. Paul is telling Titus to show hospitality means to love people from different races, to love people from different religions. Now, we don't have to change the Bible. But we still are called to love people that are from other religious backgrounds. Somebody might not believe like we believe that the Bible teaches us to. Our calling is to love people. He's even saying, if you're going to be a leader in this church, you're going to have to love difficult people. You got any difficult people at work? Oh. Got any difficult people in your house? Don't look. You got any difficult people in this church? I'm not looking. No, not really. There are going to always be difficult people. And he says, if you're going to be a leader here, you're going to have to be able to show hospitality. It can't be all about you. It can't be you running around. These leaders can't be the ones running around spouting their opinions all the time. It's got to be based on the book. You're going to have to love people that are different. You're going to have to be secure and strong in Christ so that you are not moved by others' opinions, But you can welcome people and you can put your arms around them and care about them even when they disagree with you. He's really saying you're going to have to love everybody, not just the people who fit into your little mold. The word hospitality has really two aspects. When we live it out, it's action and affection. It's doing something in love. It's got these two things. It's not just receiving a stranger, but it's loving a stranger. It's not just action, and it's not just a feeling of love. It's both together. It's important. This is important because you and I can, we can do acts of service and still not love people. You could be hungry and I could buy you lunch today and I could dislike you in my heart. That's not hospitality. Hospitality says, we're going to get you some lunch and I love you. That's the reason I'm getting the lunch. I'm not doing it because I have to, because somebody told me to. It's in my heart. So Paul is saying to Titus, look, if these guys are going to be leaders in this church, they're going to have to love people. They're not just endure people. They're going to have to love people. It's going to have to be something deep. There's an outer dimension where you do things for people. You might buy some food for somebody, or you might provide a place for them to stay. You may welcome them into your house, or you may give them money, or any number of acts of service. But there's that inner dimension that comes from my heart. If I do something for you and all I do is complain about it, it's not hospitality. It's legalism. If I just do something for you and in the back of my mind, I'm still mad at you and I'm still angry, and it's not really hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9 says this: offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's saying don't do something and behind their back, boy, that's a loser. I helped them again. That's not hospitality. The action was good. The heart was bad. It's when we get our hands and our heart working in sync together that we say, I'm going to serve other people. I'm going to find those opportunities to show acts of care and love. And I'm going to do it with a genuine heart. I'm going to do this the way God wants me to do it. Hospitality engages our heart and our hands. It can't be one or the other. Hospitality is not only for people we've recently met or strangers, but it's for the people we see. Paul says hospitality to one another. It's not just for people we've never met. It's for people that we see regularly. Hospitality is when we share the love of Christ in a tangible way, our heart and our hands, in a way that honors God and helps someone else. We're called to love the new kid at school. We're called to love the new Muslim neighbor down the street. We're called to love the atheist cousin that we see on Facebook. We're called to love the illegal immigrant. We're called to love the political refugee. We're called to love the coworker with a criminal record. We're called to love the widow who sits next to us at church on Sunday. And we're called to love the young couple who's so far away from their family and they need some help. We're called to love people. Hospitality is not just aimed at one group. Hospitality is people who see themselves as growing in Christ, take the opportunity to share love and care with somebody else. People who are in need. That's who Jesus is asking us to serve. People who are in need. So how did Jesus find these people? How did Jesus go about this? Where did he meet them? And where did they connect? And what kind of encounters took place? And who initiated the contact? If you're going to show hospitality, how do you start that process? How do you go about it? There are people in the room who would say, I'm an extrovert, like my wife. I don't need anybody to help me meet people. I'm going to meet people everywhere I go. All right? There are other people in this room that you're introverts and you're like, I just don't even want to talk to anybody. I come to church, I try not to make eye contact. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you're an extrovert, you're supposed to show hospitality. If you're an introvert, you're off the hook. Doesn't say it. It's pushing us to get out of our comfort zone. It's pushing us to make sure that we do this the right way. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus had all kinds of encounters with people. In a bunch of those cases, Jesus initiated the conversation. He just walked up to them and started talking. In John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. And John 5, the crippled beggar. I mean, he just walks up and just starts having a conversation. He was just assertive and just showed up and just showed hospitality, ministered to those people. Even more instances in the Bible, it was the other person who initiated the contact. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. Jesus spent time with him. Jairus came to Jesus, and Jesus spent time with him and did some healing. The woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus. As a matter of fact, she fought through the crowd to get to Jesus, and Jesus healed her. Jesus showed her hospitality. So sometimes you're going to be the one to just walk up to somebody. Sometimes somebody's just going to walk up to you. And they might not even mean to tell you. They might not even be asking you for the answer. They're just talking about their life in general. And the Holy Spirit's going to go, oh, told you I was going to use you today. I told you I was going to give you an opportunity. And they don't even know you can help them. They don't even know you are considering showing hospitality. They're just talking about life. And the Holy Spirit has set that moment up so you can share the love of Jesus through an act of hospitality. Care and love with somebody else. There's another way that Jesus showed hospitality or met people to show hospitality to. Conversations were triggered by a third party. You know, tax collectors and other sinners invited Matthew. And Nathaniel invited by Philip. And the adulterous woman was brought to Jesus, not because she wanted to be there, but there was other people involved. The whole point is, you are going to find, God's going to provide you with opportunities. There's going to be moments where God says, all right, I need you to go talk to them, even though it's uncomfortable. And you're going to be like, oh, I can't do it. I don't want to. What if I embarrass them? What if they don't like it? And so you're going to fight with God and push it off. And you got to remember, Jesus was assertive and he went to people. Also, people came to him. Also, he was introduced by a third party. All right? So God's going to give you opportunities. Now, watch this. Most of these opportunities did not happen in a religious setting. These opportunities didn't happen in church. They happened outside the church. At work, walking down the street. Jesus was living this lifestyle of hospitality, and he's calling us, just like Paul said to Titus, if you're going to be a leader, if he's going to be a leader here, got to be hospitable. He's going to have to make sure that he's looking for opportunities to care for people and love them at the same time. So what can we learn from Jesus' example? Here's number one. Jesus knew how to take initiative. Jesus knew there were moments he was going to have to step out. Because as scared as we are to step out and show hospitality, the person who needs the hospitality is just as scared to step out and ask, maybe even more so. So there are going to be opportunities where God's going to say to you and me, get out of your comfort zone and go do this thing. Just go do it. You just got to fumble it. I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and I said, I don't really know how to have this conversation. So this is going to be a little herky-jerky. I don't know what exactly how you're going to feel, and I don't know how I'm going to feel, but it's got to be had, so let's talk. It worked out great because I was just open. I just said, look, I don't even know what's going to happen here. I don't know how to do this. So let's just work together on it. That may be what it is. You might have to say, hey, I just think God laid you on my heart, and I just want to do something for you. Can I do this? And they're probably immediately going to go, no, I'm good, because we're all prideful. And you go, well, I just want to help. And so you got to work through that. It might not be comfortable to start with. Here's the second one. Jesus responded to the initiatives of others. There are going to be some times when you hear about something from somebody else, and you go, and it was the Holy Spirit getting it to you. I don't tell these stories very often, but I want to tell this one just very quickly. Many years ago, somebody had given Jody and I $5,000. I mean, that's a lot of money. I just wrote a check and said, God said, do this. And I was like, well, hallelujah. I like it when God does this, you know. And we had the money in our bank account, or we had access to the money, and we said, we didn't really know. It was like, why did God give us this money? We kind of talked about it and prayed about it, tried to figure out what to do. And we were like, I don't know. Should we pay a bill? Should we put it in savings? What should we do? And I get a call from somebody else, a longtime friend, who didn't call me to ask for money because he didn't think I had $5,000. He just called to say, hey, man, would you just pray with me about this thing? We're kind of struggling. My wife and I are struggling financially. And we don't really know what to do. And I said, I'll be praying. And honestly, I'm kind of slow sometimes, and I didn't put two and two together. And so I'll never forget, I was in Arlington, and I was making the big loop off of 30 onto 360, you know. And on that big loop, I was like, a light bulb came on. Oh, that's what that's about. And I called Jody, and she said, absolutely, let's do it. So we were able to, at a time in our life where there was no way we could have written a $5,000 check, we were able to give somebody something and it was God putting two and two and three and four together to make sure that who needed to be blessed and who needed the hospitality got it. So this person came to me and said, God told me to give this to you. And then later God says, I gave it to you so you could get it to them. Had nothing to do with me. I just got to be a conduit, and it was pretty cool to write a big check. God's going to send you people. You may hear something in the break room at work. You know, so-and-so is having a hard time. And you're like, oh, I don't even know so-and-so, but I know that God's asking me to reach out. Jesus, here's the third one. Jesus left room in his schedule for interruptions. Whew, we're busy, aren't we? A little interruption comes our way, and we just, you know, it throws our whole day off. What if we built our life in a way? Now, I get it. On the clock, you got to be on the clock. You should be. But what if we built our life in a way that said, I'm going to make time for interruptions because every interruption is a person. I'm going to make time for people. Jesus, if reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is just going from place to place. And I can only imagine whoever was the person that helped him get to where he needed to go, they had to be frustrated with him all the time. Because he's just like hanging out. Well, I'm just hanging out with the kids right now. Well, we don't have time for kids. And he's like, hey, suffer the little children to come and me. I mean, and he just makes time. Somebody touches the hem of his garment, and everybody's busy and wanting his time. And he says, hey, wait. Who just touched me? I got time for the person who just touched my robe in faith. I got time for you. And he just made time. Most of us are so busy. We are so, time is the new money. You can't get any more time. We love our downtime. We love to be able to guard our time. And we should, okay? But not at the expense of hospitality. This is important in our lives. If we're ever going to be leaders in our home, in our church, at work, we have to be people of hospitality. We have to be thinking about other people. Here's the fourth one. Jesus usually met people on their own turf. He usually just met them wherever they were, at work, in the neighborhood. He just met them and just wanted to show them hospitality. And here's the fifth one. Jesus was interested in establishing common ground with other people. We have this tendency nowadays. It's called identity politics. Well, I'm a this and you're a that, so we can't talk. I saw a little video recently. This little girl comes running into her mom, and she's screaming and she's crying. She said, Dad just called me a Democrat. Like in some houses, that'd be a positive. In this house, it was a negative. And we got this weird thing where it's like, you're one of them and I'm one of them. Listen, that's a concerted effort out there to divide us. He said, I want you to show hospitality to one another. I want you to care about one another. Let's find some common ground. Let's find common ground. Let's reach out to each other. Here's the real common ground. You're human and I'm human and we're all hurting on some level. That's the real common ground. Your family's going through some stuff. My family's going through some stuff. That's the common ground. I need Jesus and you need Jesus. That's the common ground. I don't care what your skin color is and what my skin color is. That's not even an issue. The issue is the core of our very being, down at our soul. When God breathed life into us, He wanted us to care about each other. He wanted us to love each other. He wanted us to take time to show hospitality. Now, we're gonna end this service a little bit different this morning. I want you to stand up with me. All right, all you introverts, stay with me. Stay with me. Come on up, get ready. So let me see that next slide, guys. Now listen, some of you are like, oh no. I'm gonna have to meet somebody. Let me paint you a little picture, and you're gonna be in the middle of the picture. Every Sunday morning at 10:30, you got your chair, and there's somebody across the row that you still have never met. You've been sitting by them for 7 years, and you're like, it's too late to ask now. I just can't ask. I will never know their name because I will never ask them. It's been too long. Today is your day, all right? They're not going to know if you know their name or not because everybody's going to have to say it, all right? Listen, it starts with the people around you. It starts with the people around you. And if we never get comfortable with the people around us, we can never grow beyond that. And if I can just be real honest, we're turning into an isolation culture where we just pull ourselves in and we hide ourselves from other people. We hide our problems from them and we don't want to know their problems. And that is not the way Jesus told us to live our lives. Life is messy. Every day of your life, it's going to be messy. And we have to be okay with that. And we live with so much anxiety now because we're so isolated, such social anxiety, that even when the Holy Spirit starts nudging us, the Holy Spirit just gives you the little, you can do it, go. Ask them to church. Ask them if you can buy their lunch. Ask them if you can pray with them. Ask them if you can mow the yard. Just get out of here. Go. And you're like, like a four-year-old. I'm not doing it. We've all struggled with that at some point. But if we're going to be leaders in our home, in our church, in our work, hospitality was first on that list of things that we should be. Hospitable. We should love people that are a little bit strange to us. They may have different skin color from you. They may have been raised in a different country than you were raised in. You may be in two different socioeconomic groups, but at the core of our being, we're the same. And so we're gonna take 5 minutes, all right? I'm gonna walk through this as if we're in first grade, okay? Good morning. Here's what it looks like. Good morning, all right? And my name is, and we say our name, what is your name? All right? Good to meet you. And say their name again. Don't just go, I don't think I heard it right, so I'm not going to say it. If you didn't hear it, ask them again. And if the music's too loud, you lean in real close. All right? Good to meet you, and I'll see you next Sunday. Now watch this. You're going to have a friend for life. But you're not just going to meet one. I want you to meet about five, all right? Oh, it just got really... Five people, are you kidding me? All right. This is hospitality. This is the bottom line of hospitality. We got to be able to meet people, all right? All right. So I feel like I need to pray before we do this. We're not. Oh. We're not going to pray before we do it. We're just going to do it. All right? All right. I want you to take 4 minutes and meet four or five people. And do these things. Say all this stuff to them, if you will. All right, turn around. The band's going to do it. If If this was your first day at Grace Point, I just want to apologize, all right? Here's the thing. Mr. Mike Kelly just walked up to me, and I got my Werther's original right here. Yep. And he shakes my hand sometimes, and he says I have cold hands, so he brought me a hand warmer, too. And that's hospitality. That's hospitality. Yes. Listen, I believe relationships are made right here, and I believe that people's lives are changed when their relationship with God is enhanced by relationships with other people. Amen. And I believe we have a great group of people that are doing that and inviting people in all the time to be a part of that. And so I just want to encourage you this week, what if Paul said to you and me, I need you to be hospitable this week? What would that look like? What would you do? Who would you talk to? What would you offer to other people? How would you live your life by caring and loving other people this week? If possibly the Apostle Paul said to you, if you're going to be a leader in your house, on your job, in your church, you're going to have to be hospitable. What would you do with your time this week to accomplish that? It's going to be different for all of us. And I believe God's going to use us for His honor and for His glory. Let's stand together, everybody. All right, some of you got excited. Some of you, I saw you talking to 10 people. All right. So, listen, I know what happens to me sometimes. If you forgot their name and you know they're going to be sitting there next week, just go right now and when we close and just ask them again and go, I completely forgot it. It's okay. It's okay. Don't waste this opportunity, all right? Just do it. Father, bless us as we go. Use us this week for your glory, for your honor. Help us to put you first in everything we do and just live our lives in a way that lets the light of Jesus shine in a dark world. And we thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being